Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Self-Control Through Torah. I'm David Gottlieb, a historian of Judaism and a member of the Jewish Studies faculty at the Spertus Institute for Jewish Learning and Leadership in Chicago.
And I am Modia Silver, and I'm going to keep my introduction super short because we're talking about frugality.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I got.
For just a brief reminder for our listeners, our project in this podcast is to go Torah portion by Torah portion through the entire Torah, using as our guide Rabbi Menachem Mendel Lefin's Cheshbon HaNefesh, the pioneering work of Musar, or Jewish ethical self-improvement. We spend 4 weeks on each of the midot in Rabbi Lefin's book. We are currently on frugality, and the parsha this week is Kedoshim in the book of Leviticus. And Modia, I want to know how Parshat Kedoshim spoke to you about the midah of frugality.
Great. So for those who were with us last week, we started by looking at what the word kimutz is, because none of the traditional Musar texts actually delve into that particular character trait except for Cheshbon HaNefesh. So I just want to maybe set the stage again, if that's okay, David, before we dive into the parsha, and look, sure, trying to figure out what frugality is, or if it's not frugality, what kimutz, the Hebrew, is. So I went back into the Chumash to look at where that word appears, and it appears back in Genesis 41:47, where it talks about during the 7 years of plenty, the land produced an abundance, meaning a handful. So there's this idea that kimutz, frugality, has to do with clutching, with a hand that is clutching something. And it also appears in Vayikra, in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 2. It says, the priest shall scoop out of it a handful of its choice flour and oil, as well as all of its frankincense, etc., etc. And so again, the word is used, kimutz, that it's a clutching of a handful. So for me, even though we're talking about frugality, I think it's about a measure, like measuring by clutching with your hand. How much are you measuring? Are you being frugal? Are you being excessive? Are you being just right? Kind of like the Goldilocks question, maybe.
I love that definition, and I think you are perfectly in accord with Rabbi Lefin. Here's what he says in Cheshbon HaNefesh. Ve'ezehu mekubad. Ze ha-mekabed et habriot u-mekametz la'atzmo u-metiv la'acherim. Who is honorable? One who honors his fellow man, who is frugal with himself and generous to others. So it's not a tight-fistedness, right? You said it sort of means, yeah, a fistful, but it's not a tight-fistedness. It's a measuring out. It's a being careful. It's a stewarding of resources. And frugality really is aimed toward the self, and an aspect of frugality is being generous with others.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. Okay, so with that platform, with that framework, maybe we can dive into the Parsha a bit. I want to say that I learned recently how Kedoshim, this week's Parsha, is actually has the same architecture as last week's Parsha, as Achrimot. And as we know, usually those two Parshas are read together. Mm-hmm. But because it's a leap year this year, we read them separately. But this is the structure of the Parsha, that in Achrimot, it starts out with priestly restrictions, then it goes to improper relations, and then it tells you if you engage in those improper relations, you'll be cut off from Israel. That's the consequence. And in this week's Parsha in Kedoshim, it takes the same architecture, but it makes it very personal. So rather than priestly restrictions, it talks about 40 personal restrictions. And then it talks about improper relations again. And then it says that if you make that mistake, you'll be cut off from, in this case, your community. So for me, just knowing that that's the framework of the Parsha fills me with some sort of trepidation that, oh, okay, now I'm starting to understand a little bit about frugality. It's actually not just about clutching and trying to grab something that's mine, or how much do I grab, but there are consequences to taking too much or taking too little. There's a consequence to being too frugal or not frugal enough.
I love that. And I especially love that because this is the center Torah portion of all the Parshiot. So for the priestly proscriptions and prescriptions to be narrowed down to a personal aspect really forms the heart of the Torah. And in this Torah portion, we have the famous in divine injunction, Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You shall love your neighbor or your fellow as yourself. That's usually how it's translated. But there's a grammatical bump here, a grammatical wrinkle that really interests the commentators, because it's anomalous. The Hebrew doesn't say ve'ahavta et re'echa, as we might expect. That would be you shall love your neighbor, with the neighbor as the subject of the sentence, but it says ve'ahavta l'recha. So, and Rabbi Shai Held says, so ahav here surprisingly takes an indirect object rather than the usual accusative. So he translates it as love to your neighbor. So what does that mean, love to your neighbor as yourself? Like, obviously, it doesn't translate to the English. What he says it means is be useful to your neighbor as to yourself. Now, if we look at it in that way, one of the central phrases in the central Torah portion is talking about frugality as you, Modya, have defined it. It's saying, steward resources carefully. One of the central ideas is you have to be useful to your neighbor, because not being useful is not a smart stewarding of resources, either for yourself or for the community of which you're a part.
Nice. So that makes me think about something that frustrated me recently.
Oh, I love these things.
Which is food was made for a group of people, let's call them family, but not name them.
We have no idea who you're talking about.
No. And one person came first and took a rather large portion of one of the items that was made. And it was left to me to point out to them that there may not actually be enough left now for everybody else. So I think what you're saying, that like that's a direct application of what you were saying, I think, which is
absolutely
that frugality requires you to consider the other. And it's beautiful.
Yes.
It's embedded within this week's Parsha as Ve'ahavta l'recha.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't want to not take anything off that off that food tray, because it's ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, that you should love the other person, like as much as you love yourself.
Yeah, right, right.
So again, it's back to that balance of clutching. Am I clutching too much? Am I clutching too little? And I have to work to find the balance that works for not just for me, but for community.
I love that. And I think it is borne out by other verses in the Torah portion. For example, if we look at chapter 19, verse 5, the English is, when you sacrifice an offering of well-being to the Lord, sacrifice it so that it may be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the day following. But what is left by the third day must be consumed in fire. Why is that? It seems to be because one commentary I've seen says it's because you're to share it with the poor. Your part of sacrificing to God is to share in the sacrifices, at least those that are eaten, with those who cannot bring or do not have enough. Then in verses 19, 15 through 19, we see that you're not to defraud or deal basely or hate or bear a grudge. Now, the first two are sort of material, and the second two are sort of emotional. This shows that material and emotional, psychological, spiritual resources are regarded in many respects as having equal bearing on the well-being of the individual and the society. Mm-hmm. They're equally to be stewarded. And so part of the theme of this in terms of kibbutz is share your material goods and share those emotional goods that are sustaining. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, but not those emotional resources that are malignant, hating, bearing a grudge, and defrauding and debasing.
Huh. That's amazing. So all these sentences around the ones you just quoted point to that same thing.
Right?
It's so interesting that this parsha, that we struggle sometimes to say, oh my gosh, we're working on this meter, and we've got to map it onto this parsha. It's like, we'll never figure that out.
We'll never, exactly. Exactly.
So I was hoping with Kedoshim, it would be, you know, Kodesh, that we'd look at the meter of being holy.
Oh, well, I do have something to say about that, but do you?
Okay.
Before I launch into my monologue?
No, but can I just stay on the topic that you just said first?
Yeah.
Because in verse 9 of the same chapter, so chapter 19, verse 9, it says, when we reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corner of the field and the gleaning of the harvest. You shall not gather together. Why? Because you have to leave it for the poor and the stranger. And there's a Mishnah that we actually say in our davening every morning that is, Ilu Devarim Shein Lehem Shior, that these are the things for which there's no measure. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing is Hapea, the corner of the field.
Right.
So I think it's really beautiful that, again, we're given the control, we're given the power. It's like, yes, you have to be frugal. Yes, you have to consider your neighbor. I'm not going to tell you now how to do it. I'm going to be a good manager, tell you what to do, but not how to do it. So you can choose how much, how little, and that's going to be your growth path.
That's fantastic. I think you've just, I think I can't top that. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. No.
Let's go to Kedoshim like you.
Well, so I think that's such a beautiful observation. I was tempted to be cynical and say, and like a good manager, God says, you know, if you don't do this, I will smite you. I will turn your land into bronze, you know, the sky will. But what's also key about that is that our actions have cosmic and collective consequences. And so there's no way to manage a people without there being consequences for actions of one kind and another. That's part of what Kedoshim makes abundantly clear, right? And so on the subject of Kadosh, I mean, we've talked about this before, you and I, you know, the root, Kuf Dalet Shin, is about separation. So what does it mean in this context of frugality? It's setting oneself apart really from one's appetites, not indulging, not letting your eyes and heart wander, not craving, and always leaving a covenantal framework over your experience. And that is why you leave the corner of the field, because everything isn't for you. And the framework extends over everything, but your ownership doesn't extend over everything. Because your resources aren't infinite, you have to steward them and always be mindful of the other. This sets this culture apart from other neighboring cultures and sets Judaism apart as a spiritual practice, I think.
So we have responsibility, but not ownership.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Huh. That's nice. And maybe, oh my gosh, I think you just blew my mind a little bit. Because now I can't
think.
That's
always my goal.
Yeah. Well, you succeeded. that word, kadosh, which means holy and separate, also mean, like, there's another word, kadesha, which is a prostitute. And so wow. whether it was a temple prostitute or just a regular run of the mill. So I think that we do have this connection between clutching with our hand, between what we're talking about, frugality, and kadosh, because either you can take just the right amount and be holy, or you can, or like, what is a prostitute is someone who just gives themselves away. So they don't recognize their own value by just giving
them. But they do charge, right?
They charge, but what are they getting? They're giving away their essence. And yes, they're getting money. They're getting material. They're getting something material in exchange. But
right.
I don't know. It just seemed to me as I was thinking about it that there is a giving away, and that ties into frugality. That if we think about sniut, like being how would you translate sniut?
Modesty.
Modesty. If you think about modesty, it's really about how do I hold back enough of myself so that I don't become a kadesha. Maybe I don't give so much of myself away.
That's a great connection between sniut and kimutz. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, and it ties in with a comment from Rabbi Larry Hoffman, who's a wonderful teacher who I've had the privilege of studying with a little bit. He says that as in verses 12 and 13, sometimes within a single verse, some verbs will be singular and some will be plural. Why is that? And he says he thinks it's because, and this is in the commentary in the JPS Tanakh, he says that it's the obligation of the community as a whole to create a moral climate that will make it easier for an individual to do what is right and make it less socially acceptable for an individual to sin. The law can only forbid and punish. The knowledge that one's neighbors will disapprove is at least as effective a deterrent. So the singular and plural uses are about the consequences of our actions individually and communally. And this is key, I think, to kimutz, because the stewarding of how we not only spend. What I'm thinking about in talking about this is time as a resource. I think that for us in the 21st century, the stewarding of time is a huge challenge, not only for us, but to the extent we are enticed, for example, by technology to waste time in individual pursuits and indulging our appetites takes away from the communities. And I think Larry Hoffman's commentary leads me in that direction. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about in terms of the singular and plural, that everything we do has communal consequences, especially wasting time online. That's really what I'm thinking about.
Right. That's really interesting, because then you can extend that to a family where people just sit there doom scrolling on their phones.
Correct.
Right. And they're taking away the time that they could have with their family.
Oh, I'm just going to preview a little rant that I'm thinking of.
Okay.
that is, there's a lot of focus on smartphones as being deleterious to the social fabric. Mm-hmm. I think earbuds are just as bad because it allows us to curate all sensory input and not to have spontaneous encounters where we're vulnerable. That makes it hard for us to steward our resources wisely because we're never prepared to truly encounter the other. That's my rant on that.
No, that's a good rant. I don't know. It might fall on deaf ears because the ears already have earbuds in them.
It could be, but maybe they're listening to our podcast.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe back into the Parsha, chapter 19, verse 23, might be a hint to what you're just talking about using your sensory awareness to connect with nature, because nature is so healing. And verse 23 talks about when you come into the land, you will have planted all manner of trees for food, that you shall count as forbidden the fruit thereof. 3 years shall it be forbidden. It shall not be eaten. And then in the fourth year, the fruit is holy for giving praise to God. And in the fifth year, you can eat of it. So I think we don't talk about it enough, right, David? This idea of our connection and responsibility for stewardship of nature.
Yeah,
and
so true.
And how frugality plays into that. And so frugality has a sense of selfishness. I put my earbuds in, and yeah, I have an argument. Yeah, I just want to drown out all the traffic, but I'm really drowning out nature as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And ours is a listening and a hearing tradition. That's why the Shema is absolutely central to our worship. If we block that off, we are not being frugal. In a way, we're being greedy. We're hoarding and curating all sensory input and shutting out the natural world. And it's interesting that in the verse that you just cited, verse 24, in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be set aside. Yihyeh kol priv kodesh, set aside. The word kodesh appears right there. The setting aside of fruit is kodesh, not in the sense of being holy, but in the sense of being set aside. And why? Because in verse 25, it says, only in the fifth year may you use its fruit, that its yield to you may be increased. When we steward resources properly, we actually create abundance.
Wow. That's really nice. That's really nice. I think, I have to go away and think about that. But I like it. I like it a lot. That stewardship is really tightly tied then to abundance, which is tied to frugality, which is tied to holiness. And maybe as the last step is, I think about, why are we so interested in midot, in character traits in the first place? And the answer always has to be because ultimately we want to recognize we live in God's world, not our ego-driven world, right? And so I'm drawn back to the beginning of the Parsha, where it says God spoke to Moses saying, speak to the entire congregation of the children of Israel and tell them that you shall be holy. But why? Because I'm holy. So there's this mirror or this invitation for connection, right? And I think we've said this before in a previous episode that Reb Shlomo Volbe of blessed memory would say that closeness in the physical world is measured by distance, and closeness in the spiritual world is measured by similarity.
Mm.
And so if we want to be spiritual beings on this planet, then it behooves us to be holy because God is holy.
I think that is gorgeous and a wonderful note on which to end. This brief excursion into Kedoshim through the lens of kibbutz or frugality. So I've learned a lot from you, as I always do. I always appreciate our opportunity to learn with each other, and I hope our listeners are enjoying it too. And I want to turn to our listeners and say thank you so much for listening to another weekly episode of Self-Control Through Torah. I'm David Gottlieb.
And I'm Modia Silva. Thank you so much for coming, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.